Jesús predicó.
Gloria. Me dio el pecado.
andar con Cristo. Quiero oír su tierna voz.
Oh, yo quiero andar con Cristo. Son llamados justos, amén, reciben hasta, resucitan hasta el final de los 1000 años, y entonces ellos reciben sendas ropas blancas en el gran juicio del trono. Los malditos, los religiosos, Los que persiguieron a la novia, los que rechazaron la palabra, van al fuego eterno juntamente con el falso profeta y el anticristo. ¡Qué tremendo! Es que siempre que leo tengo que decirle algo.
Amen. God richly bless you tonight. Tonight is our last night with you. It seems like the time that we desired to be with you was not enough. We're now beginning to feel acclimatized. And begin to get a little accustomed to you. Preaching the word, and we are very sorry we have to leave tomorrow. So we're going to try to do our best tonight to finish up the message from last night. And I just want to encourage you in the faith that have been delivered unto us by a prophet. I believe all of us tonight, we are convinced that the time is at hand. Not many more days we have here. And that is why we want to make every moment we are gathered together count.
Y por eso queremos que cada momento que estamos juntados aquí sean contados bien.
As much as we can benefit when we gather together,
de lo mejor que podemos beneficiar de estas reuniones,
and look into the word of God,
y ver la palabra de Dios,
and see where we are at in this present hour.
Y ver dónde estamos en esta hora.
Not what we feel in our minds,
no lo que sentimos en nuestra mente,
but what the word of God declares unto us.
No lo que la palabra de Dios está declarando nosotros para esta hora.
Because faith only has one resting place.
Porque fe solo tiene un lugar de descanso.
And that is upon the word of God.
Y eso es en la palabra de Dios.
Amen. Amen. So we want to invite your attention tonight back to the book of Daniel. We just want to continue the same message from last night because we barely got part of it. And I'm trusting the grace of God tonight to make it plain for us tonight. Amen. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And we're speaking about Daniel's great vision that he had. His last vision that covers chapters 10 to 12. And it was a vision of the end time. And it concerned Daniel's people, which was the Jews. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time.
En aquel tiempo se levantará Miguel, el gran príncipe, que está de parte de los hijos de tu pueblo. Y será tiempo de angustia, pero nunca fue, desde que hubo gente hasta entonces.
And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book.
Pero en aquel tiempo será libertado tu pueblo, todos los que sean escritos en el libro.
Do you believe he's got a book tonight?
¿Cree usted que tiene un libro en esta noche?
And the names of his elected is written in that book?
¿Y los nombres de los elegidos están escritos en este libro?
Amen. That is what the scripture declares unto us.
Eso es lo que la escritura nos declara esta noche.
We also see it in Revelation 5 and Revelation 10. We also see that in Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation 10. Now let us turn to Revelation chapter 7. Continue in the line of the same scripture. Speaking about Daniel's people. And where that great angel is going to stand for them in the last days. And where he's going to deliver those names found written in the book. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth.
Después de esto vi a cuatro ángeles en pie sobre los cuatro ángulos de la tierra que tenían los cuatro vientos.
Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
Para que no soplase viento alguno sobre la tierra, ni sobre el mar, ni sobre ningún árbol.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God.
Vi también otro ángel que subía donde sale el sol y tenía el sello del Dios vivo.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea.
Y clamó en gran voz a los cuatro ángeles a quienes se les había dado el poder de hacer daño a la tierra y al mar.
Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Diciendo, no hay daño a la tierra ni al mar ni a los árboles hasta que hayamos sellado en sus frentes a los siervos de nuestro Dios.
And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Y el número de los sellados, 144,000 sellados de todas las tribus de los hijos de Israel.
And the children of Israel is Daniel's people. And this is going to happen in the end time. And it was not all the children of Israel, but it was 144,000 elected ones. Those names that is found written in the book. Amen. And Revelation chapters 14. Verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Después miré, y aquí el cordero estaba en pie sobre el monte de Sion, y con él 144,000 que tenían el nombre de él y el de su padre escrito en la frente.
Amen. And we know that lamb is a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. The same lamb who took the book in Revelation chapter 5. Amen. And this 144,000 is the same ones who were sealed in the foreheads with the seal of God. Amen. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm depending upon you tonight. Lord, you would speak to us. Oh, God, have your way in this service. Let the word be made plain to your children. Let it inspire great faith for them, Father. Help them to recognize their position in the word. Help them to understand your program for this hour. Lord, I pray that great sealing angel will seal these whose names are in that book, will seal them in their forehead with the seal of God. And you will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and my new name in their foreheads. Grant it, Father. You promised to do it. And the hour is here. Is running out. And we pray, dear God, if there be any that is not sealed, Lord, you will seal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it for your honor and for your glory. Amen. God bless you. May have a seat. You want to go right into the word? We have a lot of ground to cover. And we are trusting by the grace of God we'll be able to do it tonight. Amen. And last night, I gave you my title. I was speaking of the angel with the open book and with the seal of God. Amen. And Revelation chapter 7, we see that angel had the seal of God in his hand. And before we go any further, since Daniel 12, verse 1 is speaking of Michael, the great prince, and we know that it's Michael, the archangel. And just for your information, there's only two places in the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that speaks of the archangel. Amen. The word archangel is mentioned only in two places in the entire Bible. In the book of Jude, verse 9, it speaks of Michael the archangel. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it speaks of the voice of the archangel, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. It's the only two places in the entire Bible that speaks of the archangel. Amen. And that archangel is referred to as Michael. And we find out in the message of the hour, the prophet of God told us that Michael is Christ. Amen. There was a great battle in heaven between Michael and Lucifer. And Michael kicked Lucifer out of heaven because Lucifer wanted to have a better kingdom than Michael. Amen. And the archangel means the chief angel. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we never fully understood that Jesus is an angel. Amen. He's the angel of the Lord. Now, many a time, we think of the Hoffman head of Christ. Amen. And we think of Jesus in that form. But we find out that the entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation is revealing one person, Jesus Christ. But the Hoffman head, the corporal body, that didn't come into existence until the middle of the Bible, when it was created in Mary's womb. Amen. So that God could be made flesh and come through the human race for redemption. Because in order to redeem, you have to be kinfolk to man. Amen. So he had to come through the human race. But we find out in Genesis 18, when God came to Abraham, walking, and he sit down and eat and drink, and his back was turned to the tent, and he discerned Sarah's heart. That was Jesus. Because Jesus told Abraham, he told the Jews rather, he said, Abraham saw my day. Abraham rejoiced to see me. And he also said, before Abraham was. Be- before Abraham was. I am. Amen. Showing that he was before Abraham. And they said, you is a man? Only 50 years old? Because you look like 50. But you're only 33 years old. Amen. He said, and you say you was before Abraham? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Amen. Though he was in a flesh body, when he came to Abraham and eat and drink, yet he couldn't die for us in that body. Though it was a flesh body. Because in order to die for us, to redeem us, you have to be a kinsman. And to be a kinsman, you have to be part of the human race. In order to be kinsfolk to man. Amen. And in Genesis 18, that body was a body he created. It didn't come to the human race. So he couldn't die for us in that body. But when the time came that he was going to come to die, to do the work of redemption, he come through the human race to become kinfolk to man. Hallelujah. Amen. But it was Jesus. Amen. When Abraham, when Moses saw him, he was in a pillar of fire, in a burning bush. Amen. Then that pillar of fire became flesh. Amen. And then when he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, he had said, I come from God and I go back to God. And he was that pillar of fire. So he went back to the pillar of fire. And when Paul saw him in the book of Acts, chapter 9, Paul saw the pillar of fire. And he knew that was the great I am. The great JVHU. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. So Paul, being a Jew, and knowing the Old Testament, that pillar of fire was the angel of the Lord. He says, who art thou? Lord, JVHU. And that pillar of fire, who had told Moses, I am that I am, that pillar of fire said, I am Jesus. Amen. Then that same pillar of fire is the angel of the covenant. Then when we come to the end of the Bible, in Revelation 10, there's another mighty angel coming down from heaven with an open book. That is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. So Jesus comes in the form of an angel. A messenger. A heavenly messenger. The angel of Jehovah. Hallelujah. The pillar of fire. The angel of the covenant. Amen. So Jesus come as a man. He's also an angel. He's also an angel. He is the chief angel. He is the archangel. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Because Jesus says, in the last days, this is in John 5, the dead in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. But the voice of the resurrection, the voice that will call the dead out of the graves, is the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah! So that archangel, Michael, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one, his voice is going to bring them out of the grave. Because that angel is always connected with the resurrection. Moses was a type of the sleeping saints. Elijah is a type of the translated saints. When Moses died, Lucifer wanted the body of Moses. Amen. And he contended Michael for the body. Hallelujah. And Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. Hallelujah. Get the hands. Amen. Hallelujah. So that our angel, that mighty angel, Michael himself, the great prince, is going to stand on the earth in the last days with the book in his hand to deliver the names from written in the book. Hallelujah. So I want to turn to Revelation 10. I know you know Revelation 10. So I'm only going to read about 3 verses. Amen. And it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, and clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. Amen. So here is this angel, which we know is Jesus Christ, and he has a book in his hand. Amen. And that book is the Lamb's book that was in Revelation 5, which was sealed. But in Revelation 10, the book is open. Amen. And the names that was in that book, the names that was in that book, is to be revealed when the book is open. Because it is a book of redemption. It is the Lamb's book of life. That where those who was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, where the names is written. Now before you close your Bible, I want you to observe something. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13 to 21, is the 6th trumpet. And Revelation 11, 15 to 19, is the 7th trumpet. So Revelation 10 is an interval. Something is injected. A happening. Something is taking place between the 6th and 7th trumpet. And last night, we also found that Revelation 7 is a happening also, taking place between the 6th and 7th seal. Amen. Because we found out that Revelation 6, 12 to 17, is the 6th seal. And Revelation 8, 1, is the 7th seal. And Revelation 7 is a happening, revealing something, taking place between the 6th and 7th seal. Amen. And we find out, in Revelation 7, there's an angel with the seal of God. Now, is that angel with the open book in Revelation 10:1 between the 6th and 7th trumpet? Is that angel the same angel as the angel in Revelation chapter 7, verse 2, between the 6th and 7th seal? We know it is Christ between the 6th and 7th trumpet with the open book. Now, who is that angel with the seal of God between the 6th and 7th seal? The prophet says it is also Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read it for you. In page 93, Conduct Order and Doctrine, he was teaching about Revelation 7, about his angels, those angels, holding the 4 winds, and he spoke how the winds was wars and strife. And he said, and now here comes another one. Now if you will watch and refer that angel He's the same angel that come out in Ezekiel 9. Because remember last night, we took Ezekiel 9. Don't bother with that. And Ezekiel 9 was a vision of prophecy that Ezekiel saw. Amen. And here we see that the brother Branham is saying the same angel with the seal of God was the same one in Ezekiel 9. And that was the Holy Spirit in Ezekiel 9. Amen. And here he says, no, you see, he's the same angel coming forth from the east. And where Jesus shall come from? And he has the seal of the living God. Now, what is the seal of the living God? The Holy Spirit. Amen. So that angel in Revelation 7:2 is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. No man can give you the Holy Ghost. That is the only ministry that Jesus kept for himself. Hallelujah. He's the one who baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you who is mightier than I. It is he who baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is Jesus in another form, in the form of spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see then this angel of Revelation 10:1, the angel with the open book, is the same angel with the seal of God in Revelation 7, verse 2. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a calling and a sealing. Because he cried with a loud voice. Seven thunders utter their voices. Come out of her, my people. When them seven seals open, what was it to do? Gather the bride together. Amen. Bring her from all denominations to the promised word. Bring her out from blasphemous names into the place where he placed his name. Just like he brought Israel from all nations back to the promised land. So he brought the bride from all denominations back to the place where he placed his name. Hallelujah. And then he's going to give Israel the Holy Spirit. And when he called the bride out from denominations, is to give her the Holy Spirit also. Amen. Because we come out of the denomination, we went beyond the camp of denominations. What for? To be identified with the true Lamb. Amen. Because the true Lamb was not in denomination. Elijah the prophet. Amen. He came to reveal the true Lamb. Amen. The same thing in the first coming. John the Baptist, with the spirit of Elijah, called the elected ones out of Pharisees and Sadducees to recognize the true Lamb. What for? So they could get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And as John foretold the first coming, so the spirit of Elijah is foretelling the second coming. Same kind of ministry. Same kind of ministry. Amen. So he's a calling and a sealing. Amen. Who is he sealing? Who is he sealing? Amen. His express attributes. Amen. He is branding them so that they know they belong to him. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body, that the family in heaven and their family in earth. His name after the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just recapping some of these things quickly. And we want to establish tonight that it is the same angel, Jesus Christ. He is doing something. He's calling you out. If your name is in that book, he's come down on the earth to hunt you out, to call him out, and then to seal him. A calling and a sealing. Amen. Hallelujah. And the same ministry that is taking place among the bride now is the same thing going to take place among the Jews. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is why it's so important for us to see these things. Because we'll understand exactly what is happening in this present hour. Amen. How God is bringing these things to pass. Amen. So I want you to see that Ezekiel 9 is a parallel to Ezekiel 7. Amen. I took Ezekiel 9 last night. To save time, I'm not going to read it. Because we read it last night already. And we find out Ezekiel 9, it was a vision Ezekiel was seeing. And it was the slaughtering angels was getting ready to destroy everything. But before the slaughtering angels destroyed everything, there was a man who had a righteous inkhorn. And he had to go forth before the slaughtering angels and mark them in their forehead. Amen. Hallelujah. And then after he finished marking them, then the slaughtering angels was to destroy. The prophet is giving us a parallel and showing us that it was a parallel to Revelation 7. Because Revelation 7, we see before the slaughtering angels could destroy everything. Amen. The sealing angel had to seal up 144,000 in the forehead. And we find out in Revelation 14, it was the Father's name written in the forehead. And last night, we showed that the seal and the name is always connected together. Amen. And those who have the seal of God, they have a revelation of the name. And those who have the mark of the beast, then they have the name of the beast in their forehead. Amen. And we find in the message blasphemous names. Brother Branham was showing all these Protestant denominations, Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals, over 900 and something of them, is blasphemous names. And the only place where God meets man is in the place where he placed his name. And before this message came, we all were in blasphemous names. Amen. And we had to be called out. Because God was not in denomination. Amen. That's a bunch of demon spirits. Habitation of devils. Cage of every hateful and unclean bird. And he says, come out of her, my people. My genes. My people. He called them out. Amen. And redemption has two parts. Out of and into. Amen. He don't just call you out. He calls you out. But he brings you into. He called them out of Egypt. And he brought them into the promised land. Many came out of Egypt. Many came out of Egypt, but they never went into the promised land. Amen. He called them out of Judaism into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many came out of Judaism, but they didn't go to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And in this day, he's called us out of denominationalism. Amen. Into the rapture. Amen. And there are men who are going to come out of denomination, like the foolish virgins, at midnight, was a loud cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's the message. 10 virgins went out, but only 5 went in. Amen. So the rest came out, but they didn't go in with the bridegroom. They had to go through tribulation. So redemption is in 2 parts. Out of and into. Amen. And we find out that he calls us out of blasphemous names into the place where he placed his name. We want to kind of move on a little quickly now. So Ezekiel 9 is a parallel to Revelation 7. Amen. And we find out that Revelation 10 is also a parallel to Revelation 7. Amen. Now before I go to that, let us speak on Ezekiel 9 a little bit again. Now what was really Ezekiel 9? The prophet of God says, what Ezekiel saw, the slaughtering angels moving to Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, go to the city. The destruction was designated only to Jerusalem. Amen. And he said, begin at my sanctuary. Amen. And when did that happen? In the time of Jesus. When Jesus came, he was the Son of Man. Elijah had forerun the Son of Man. Elijah revealed the Son of Man. Elijah introduced the Son of Man. The Son of Man was the headstone. He was the Lamb. He was the word of the hour that came to the prophet. Amen. Then the churches, Sadducees, Pharisees, they rejected the message of Elijah. They rejected the Son of Man. And when they rejected him, Jesus, looking at the temple, said, not one stone will remain standing on this upon one another. And when you see Jerusalem, compassed with armies, let not your flight be in winter. Amen. What was he doing? He was pronouncing judgment because they had rejected mercy. Mercy was revealed by a prophet. Amen. And the churches turned it down. The churches turned it down. They all came together in a unity, like an ecumenical move, like a world council of churches. The Sadducees didn't believe like the Pharisees, didn't believe like the Herodians, yet they all came together and said, away with him, crucify him. And they give the support to Rome. They say, Caesar is our king. Amen. And the church joined up with the state, with the Roman power, because the Romans who killed Jesus. So church and state had come together to reject Elijah's message. Amen. But Jesus, after he prayed, O Jerusalem, how often I gather thee as a hen that gather her brood. If only you had known the day of your visitation. They didn't know it. So when Jesus was going to be rejected,
According to Daniel 9, it says Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. And the sanctuary shall be destroyed with a flood. So Daniel had the same revelation that the sanctuary was going to be destroyed. And Jesus, when the time came for him to be cut off, when the time came for him to die, he said, the temple shall be destroyed. Amen. And he tell them, the time is going to come when Jerusalem will be compassed with armies. Amen. He saw the slaughtering angels coming. Amen. And he pronounced judgment upon the people who rejected his message. But to the elect who believe Elijah's message. Amen. Because Elijah's message was Jesus, the Son of Man. And Elijah was John. And the elected ones, like the apostles, to them, he promised them, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Go and tarry. Not many days from now, the Holy Ghost is going to come. Because Jesus, looking at Ezekiel's vision, saw the sealing angel is going to come to seal them up before Titus comes to destroy them. Hallelujah. And AD 30, listen carefully, in the year AD 30, Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Amen. Then after he went up, the Holy Spirit, the sealing angel, came down. Because the sealing angel was the Holy Spirit. The prophet said, Ezekiel had a vision of Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel saw the part that followed the Son of Man. And the Son of Man followed Elijah. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit came back and sealed up the apostles, the 120 in the upper room, the elected group who believed Elijah's message, which the denominations had rejected, then they begin to preach. Now they had a revelation who Elijah was. They knew Elijah was John. They knew Jesus was the Word. They knew the Holy Ghost had come. Hallelujah! So they had a revelation. Elijah's part is fulfilled. He introduced the Word, the Son of Man, and the Son of Man loosed the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! And the evening message looses the Holy Ghost. And the evening message is the Son of Man. Hallelujah! And then they'll bring back the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the sealing angel. And Brother Branham put the church age in the year AD 53. Amen. Now notice that. Not AD 30. AD 53. Because AD 53, 23 years after, the Son of Man was taken on the scene. 23 years after. Amen. Paul began his missionary journey. Until that time, for those 23 years, Jesus told them, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As a nation, Israel had rejected the message. They were blinded. So the Gentiles is coming. Now the Gentiles is blinded, so the Jews could come in. Hallelujah. Amen. But before the gospel had went to the Gentiles, every elected Jew had to be sealed up
with the Holy Spirit. And for 23 years, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was directing them in service. He appeared to Paul. He appeared to Paul. And he sent him one way. He came to Peter. Go to the house of Cornelius. He came to Philip. Go down to the desert of Gaza. Brother Abraham says, the life, the word, the seed came through the body. But the angel directed them in service. The man was preaching, but the Holy Spirit was sealing them up. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah! Amen! So the angel was directing them where the elected seed was. And then the angel himself, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, who went with them wherever they went, confirming their word with signs and wonders following. Amen! And each one of them had the name written in their forehead. They preach in the name, salvation in the name, healing in the name, baptism in the name. Amen! And they beat them, they persecute them, and told them, don't preach in that name. But what else could they do? That name was written in their forehead. Amen! We find out in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 15, when the pillar of fire came to Paul, it says he's a chosen vessel to bear my name. Hallelujah! We have to bear his name tonight. We have to bring forth his life. We have to bring forth his signs. We have to bring forth his wonders. We have to bring forth his characteristics to show it is him, the same yesterday and today and forever. We just can't come to church. We just can't say we're in the message. We just can't say we believe Elijah. That sealing angel had to come and write his name in our forehead. Amen. Jesus told him, go and tarry. And then that angel came. So Ezekiel 9 was the sealing angel coming after the Son of Man from AD 30 till AD 53, when the elected Jews was being sealed up. Then in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and also chapter 18, Paul shake his raiment and he dust his feet. Amen. And he said, from now we turn to the Gentiles. Amen. Because the last elected Jew was called. And then the gospel went from one nation to another nation. Hallelujah. And we find out, 1965, the Son of Man, well, amen, that corporal body that the Son of Man was revealing was taken off the scene. Amen. And now in 1988, the generation that see Israel become a nation. Hallelujah. For about 23 years, about the same space of time, the Holy Spirit, Revelation 10:1, the great seal, Jesus Christ coming down with the open book and with the seal of God to call out his elected ones and seal them up before the gospel go back to the Jews. Since 1946, Israel is gathered in the homeland. 1948, they was recognized as a nation in the United Nations, and they are waiting for the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, to come unto them. And this same gospel is to leave these Gentile nations and go to the Jews. The same way it leaves the Jews and come to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. But in between that time, the sealing angel was moving, looking for the elected seed, calling a sheep by the name, writing the name in their forehead, showing them that Elijah has come. That was John the Baptist. Jesus, the Word, the Son of Man, was revealed by the prophet, the headstone. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, the sealing angel, is here to seal up the elect who is called by the Son of Man message. Amen. And Ezekiel 9 is repeating itself again, because the Son of Man is revealed again in the evening time to the Gentiles. Son of Man came to Abraham. Then it came to Abraham, natural seed, in the middle of the Bible. Then it's going to come to Abraham, royal seed, at the end of the Bible. There's only three peoples: Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles. And the Son of Man was revealed to the Jews and the Samaritans. It was never revealed to Gentiles. But in the evening time, St. Luke 17:30, even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed, and the same ministry of Elijah, a Son of Man, revealed Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Amen. And the Son of Man, amen, the evening message released the Holy Spirit, the sealing angel, Ezekiel 9, who is to seal up those that believe the Son of Man message before the slaughtering angels come and destroy everything. Amen. Hallelujah. And here we see 1963 to 1965, Elijah the prophet, at the end of the New Testament, revealed the Son of Man, as John, at the end of the Old Testament, revealed the Son of Man. Amen. And from 1965 to 1988, it's going to be about 23 years when the Holy Spirit have been sealing up the elected ones around the world before the message leave the Gentiles and go back to the Jews. Amen. Hallelujah. According to the sealing. So Ezekiel 9 parallels Revelation 7. And Revelation 7 parallels Revelation 10. Because Revelation 10 is the revealing of the Son of Man to Gentiles. But Revelation 7 is the Son of Man, Christ, being revealed to the Jews. Amen. A Gentile prophet comes to the Gentiles before the rapture. And two Jewish prophets come to the Jews after the rapture. Amen. And the Gentile prophet left in 1965. And the two Jewish prophets is yet to come. And from 65 to 87, there's a mystery. Amen. A mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets. Amen. What is that mystery? A super church, a super race. In the last days, there is to be a restoration of the bride tree. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So I want to read something for you from the seventh seal to show you that there's a calling and a sealing in Revelation 7. Amen. But that is only a type of the calling and the sealing in Revelation 10. Because right now, we are between the sixth and seventh trumpet. What was the sixth trumpet? Hitler and Eichmann, World War II. You will find that in Feast of the Trumpets. Amen. And the seventh trumpet is Moses and Elijah. Amen. And after World War II, a heavenly angel appeared to an earthly angel. Amen. Hallelujah. The pillar of fire that came to Moses, that came to Paul, came back in the evening time. Hallelujah. Glory. And the pillar of fire always comes for an exodus. Amen. In Moses' time, he was a prophet in the first exodus. Paul, a prophet in the second exodus. And Brother Branham, a prophet in the third exodus. The pillar of fire coming all the time. An exodus means a going out. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a great thing happening. And that pillar of fire is the I am that I am. Is the Lord Jesus. Is the angel of the covenant. Same person. Amen. The great Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So in the seventh seal, page 10, he says, if you notice, this seventh chapter, the sixth chapter ends up the sixth seal. But between the sixth and seventh seal, there's something that takes place. And how lovely that's placed. Just at its right place. Between the sixth and seventh seal. And now notice, in the seventh chapter, between the sixth and seventh, is an interval. Amen. Hallelujah. It's between the sixth and seventh seal that this interval is given. And we want to notice this. It's very important that we notice this little time. Then page 12. He says, now we notice this interval. Now between the sixth and seventh seal, in the seventh chapter of Revelation, reveals a happening. It's nothing here just for nothing. It's not put in between this for nothing. It's here for a purpose. And it's a revelation that reveals something. Notice how mysterious and how mathematically it fits right into the scripture. Exactly. Amen. Do you believe in God mathematics? If you don't, you are sure lost. You will get lost in the word. Amen. And the eighth chapter only reveals the scene of the seventh seal. Nothing else is revealed. Amen. Nothing is revealing the seventh seal. No, it has nothing to do with the seventh chapter of Revelation. Amen. He said, now we are going to speak here now on the seventh chapter. And that's what we just read. To kind of bridge it in between the sixth and seventh seal. Because that's the only material we have to go on with right now. Amen. Between the sixth and seventh seal is the calling out of Israel. Now this seventh seal is silent. But there's a secret beneath the silence. But nothing was given we. Amen. But we know Revelation 10 is the secret beneath the silence. Called Revelation 10 is the coming of Christ. Coming out of heaven. Coming down on the earth. With the open book. In the days of the seventh angel. Who will be on the earth to introduce Christ. Just like John was on the earth
to introduce him at the first coming. Hallelujah. But nothing is given in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, on the seventh seal. But in Revelation 7, which is placed between the sixth and seventh seal, God put that there for a purpose. It was a calling out of the 144,000 elect by Moses and Elijah. And that was the same ministry and the same message that we have here now. Because the same gospel, the same message will go to the Jews. Hallelujah. Glory. So God was putting something in the Jewish form. Amen. Hallelujah. Hiding the secret of what is taking place with the bride right now. Amen. He says, now this interval between the seals is the calling and sealing of 144,000 Jews. The calling out of 144,000 Jews called in the tribulation period after the bride, the church is gone. On page 38, in the sixth seal, Brother Branham was speaking about Daniel chapter 12. He says, now Daniel, in Daniel 12, Daniel said, everyone that was found written in the book will be delivered. He said, now remember, Daniel now is speaking of this period, the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, when the 144,000 whose names was in the book will be called out by Moses and Elijah and receive the seal of God in their forehead. Amen. Hallelujah. And we found that angel who is sealing them is the same angel in Revelation 10. Is the same angel in Daniel 12. Is the same angel in Ezekiel 9. That sealing angel. Hallelujah. In Daniel 12, it shows him with the book, delivering the names, calling them out. In Revelation 7, it shows him sealing them. A calling and a sealing. And in Revelation 10, we see him again with the book, calling them out. And we know he's to seal them also. Amen. So he's a calling and a sealing. Being revealed. Amen. On page 21 and 22 of the seventh seal, he says, now there were a remnant according to the election, the 140,000. Because if you go to St. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, it says he will send his angels, and Brother Brahman, the seventh seal, he says, notice two angels and one trumpet. He will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. Angels, plural. Moses and Elijah. But a trumpet. The seventh trumpet. Amen. To gather the elect from the four ends of the earth. Amen. So they are elect. Jewish elect. And we are Gentile elect. Hallelujah. Amen. In the days of Elijah's first ministry to the Jews, that Romans 11, verse 1 to 7, Paul was teaching and showing Israel was blinded. But there is a remnant that is left. And after the Gentiles is called out, God is going to go back to the Jews. Remember, Paul taught that. In Romans 11, That is why no missionaries go to
Israel.
Because they know the Jews is blinded. Since Calvary, they was blinded. They're going to get two prophets and a nation going to be born in one day. Amen! So no missionaries, they don't go to Israel because the Jews are blinded. They're going to take Moses and Elijah to call them out. Amen! And Moses and Elijah will not come on the scene until the Gentile prophet call out the bride, and the bride goes in the rapture, because God don't deal with the two at the same time. When Joseph's wife is dismissed in the palace, Joseph will make himself known to his brothers. Amen! And when we see the bride being gathered together, when we see the bride being taken up in the mystery of the seventh seal, we know something is going to happen. When we see Israel in the homeland, and the generation about finished, we know it's time for them two prophets to appear. So we realize we are very close. And that is why tonight, this message, these things I'm trying to bring to you, is very important that you see these things to recognize if you are sealed to go in the rapture. Amen. Because the opening of the seals was to reveal the names of the bride, the ones who's going in the rapture. And you have to know if your name has been revealed to you by the preacher of the word, that you can say, I am one of them. Hallelujah! Amen. So Paul was showing us, in the time of Elijah thought he was the only one. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. And they want to kill me. And God said, no. There is 7,000 who ain't bowed on their knees. And Paul was showing that those 7,000 was a type of the 144,000. Amen. Proving there's an elected group, predestinated to hear them prophets' message. Just like in this day, there was a predestinated group to come out of the organization and to believe this message. Hallelujah! And we are part of that group tonight, because we are gathered here under these things. Amen. So he said, now there is in the remnant time coming to the 140,000 according to the election that will believe the message. Amen. The elected will come out. What is it? The tribulation period. Amen. And that when Michael is going to stand to deliver the names. But before he could deliver the 144,000 names, there is some Gentile names have to be delivered first. Hallelujah! So in Revelation 10, he is coming down to Gentiles. Revelation 7, the same angel is going to the Jews. Amen! My. And Brother Abraham says, same thing it is in the Gentile church. There's a bride, and she's elected, and she'll be called according to the election. Now, this all types the church perfectly. That's what I wanted to get. I wanted to read it out of the seventh seal for you, so you will see I'm not making that up, but the Holy Spirit is revealing that. Amen. It takes me a little time to read it, but you see, you don't know me. Amen. So I want you to see I'm saying over the prophet message. Amen. That same angel that come in Revelation 7, that is a parallel to Revelation 10. It's a type of what is happening now. Amen. And Revelation 7
is a parallel to Ezekiel 9. So Revelation 10 is also a parallel to Ezekiel 9. And Ezekiel 9 followed the Son of Man ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. In AD 70, Titus destroyed Jerusalem. But in AD 53, Paul does his feet off. Amen. Because the elected Jews was called. Amen. Hallelujah. All the elected was called off. But the rest was reserved and appointed unto the wrath of God. And the appointment of that wrath was AD 70. And Titus came and destroyed him. Hallelujah! Glory! And here we realize a calling and a sealing have been happening. That same angel on the earth after the Son of Man, like the Holy Ghost followed the Son of Man that Elijah introduced in the first coming. Amen. And he's been moving around the nations, moving around the churches, going through the churches. As I read for you last night, out of leadership, December 1965, page 47, showing you that time is going to repeat. I don't have time to read the others because I want to go on to something else. But I'm going to give you the quotes to put it on the tape. So in your own private time, you can study it for yourself. In Feast of the Trumpets, page 30, the prophet says Ezekiel 9 repeats again. In the message, the uniting time and sign, he says Ezekiel 9 repeats again. And when Titus was coming, not one of the Christians was caught in there, because they all saw the sign that Jesus told them. When you see the Jerusalem compassed with armies, let not your flight be in winter. They all went out before the destruction come. And the bride will be caught out before the destruction comes. Amen! Hallelujah! Amen! So we have time here where this bride who been sealed in her forehead is to be taken out before the destruction. And the message is fixing to go over to another nation. Just like it left the Jews and went to the Gentiles. Amen. Hallelujah. Also in page 24 and 25, in the seventh seal, Brother Branham is showing us that it all parallels Revelation 10. So Revelation 10 is a calling and sealing of the bride. But Revelation 7 is a calling and a sealing of the 144,000. Amen! Now Revelation 14:1, the 144,000 was on Mount Zion. And we took last night Galatians 4, where Paul was speaking of earthly Jerusalem, Sadducees and Pharisees, the bondswoman and her children, and heavenly Jerusalem, the elect lady and her children. Amen, the married wife. Hallelujah! And here we see all these denominations, Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal, earthly Jerusalem, Mount Sinai. Hallelujah! But we have come from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. Hallelujah! We have come to the revealed word. We have come to the real lamb, the real blood. Because Mount Sinai
was the law.
Era la ley.
And Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostal was reformer age. Not redemption, reformation. Hallelujah! But the seven seals is redemption. Mount Zion. Amen. Hallelujah. And we found on Mount Zion that name of the Father was written in the forehead. Because it's impossible to be sealed in your forehead and you don't have the name. Because his seal is his name. Amen. Now what is that name now? Brother Abraham says that name was to reveal in the seven thunders. Amen. My. There's a great thing there. Amen. Because before the seven thunders uttered their voices, we were in blasphemous names. You're a Pentecostal, you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist. Blasphemous names. Amen. But he called you into the only provided place of worship. The only place where God meets with man. Hallelujah! The place where he placed his name. And his name was to be revealed. In the seven seals. He said, and Jesus, his name on the earth was Redeemer. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was the Redeemer. That's true. But when he conquered death and hell, overcome them, he ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason they holler the way they do and don't get nothing. It will be revealed in the seven thunders. Amen. And notice the mystery, Revelation 19, he's speaking about it, how Christ is coming back from heaven, and he had a name written on his thigh that no man knew. There's got to be something to change his church. You know that? There's got to be something. Notice, no man knows but himself. No man knows it. But it's going to be revealed in the seven thunders. Amen. And page 26, in the fourth seal, he said, wait until them seven thunders utter their voices to that group who can really take the word and hand it there. It will slice and cut. They can close the heavens. They can shut this or do whatever they want to. Hallelujah! He'll be slain by the word that proceeds through his mouth. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. They can call for 100 billion tons of flies if they wanted to. Whatever they say is going to happen because the word. We want to see how the name was always associated with the seal. Speaking about Ahab and Jezebel here, it says she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. Now the word to seal means, it means to secure to anyone. It means to make sure. To set a seal or mark upon anything in token of it being genuine. It means to confirm, to establish, to distinguish by a mark. If you have the seal of God, you are distinguished by a mark from the Holy Spirit that you are different to everybody else. Amen. And the use of the seal was very common in the olden times. More common than how it is today. Because of the fact that few could read or write. Each person had their own private seal.
Tenía su propio sello privado.
And it was a capital crime to copy it.
Y era un crimen capital copiar ese sello.
Amen. The seal of a person was the signature or a special mark or a stamp from a signet ring. They would have a special ring that they would seal something. The kings used to have it. The king had a seal. Hallelujah! And no man could reverse the king's seal. And our king, the Lamb, hallelujah! He has a seal. And no man could reverse his seal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's turn to the book of Esther. Chapter 3. And see another example. Of the name and the seal. Esther chapter 3, verse 12. To save a little time, I'm going to just read the end of the verse. It says, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring.
En nombre del rey Azuero fue escrito y sellado con la ley del rey.
Amen. Amen. And, yeah. And also Esther chapter 8 verse 8.
Y luego capítulo 8 versículo 8 de Esther.
Write you also concerning the Jews as it pleaseth you. In the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. So we see in the Old Testament the name and the seal was always together. To put the king's seal was a symbol of putting his name there. Was a special mark. His distinguishing mark. Amen. And it couldn't be reversed. And what was a shadow in the Old Testament of the king's seal is in reality form in the New Testament. In Ephesians 4:30, it's a grief of the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. Amen. And also in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 22, it said, God who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
Also, if you compare Genesis 17, verse 11,
yes.
Where to speak about God give Abraham a sign of circumcision? A token of circumcision. And Romans 4:11, where Paul was teaching about Genesis and said a sign of circumcision. Also Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. As we compare that with Revelation 7, verse 3, where the angel marked them in the forehead, and where the angel sealed them in the forehead. So we will notice that the words token, sign, seal, and mark are used in the scriptures as synonymous terms. They all speak of the same thing. preaching here.
Aquí.
Is a seal being the mark. The seal was used instead of a name. And the name of Jesus Christ is the seal of God. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The seal of God. God's mark seal. Identification is the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus comes into you, it's put his spirit in. No matter how many names you write on the outside of it, if the spirit is in the air, it bears record of the truth.
If the spirit is in there,
you know, many people call themselves Church of God. Many people say there's a bride. But their life is not the end record. They don't have the identification. The name is not showing. The devil gets into them, showing they're not sealed. Because if the Holy Ghost is sealed, then the devil is sealed out. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the name of the Lord. A mighty tower. The righteous run into it. And they save. Is that God's seal? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Is that right? Whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what is the seal of God? The name of Jesus Christ. What is the name of Jesus Christ? The life of Jesus Christ. Because only those who was in Christ, like Eve was in Adam, amen, could have his name. Amen. Because the wife has the husband's name. Because she's married to him. Amen. And the wife was in the husband. She's the feminine spirit that was in the husband. Amen. So if another woman comes and tries to take that name or use that name that is not the wife, she is using that name illegally, and she have no rightful claims on that name. Hallelujah. It's a fraud. Amen. God will not recognize it. Because Jesus' bride, his wife, was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Like Eve was in Adam. And he took part of the bridegroom to make the bride. And the bridegroom is the word. And the bride is part of the word. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came in the Father's name, he had to take the Bible and prove the word was being interpreted inside of him. His life matched the word. Hallelujah. He couldn't just come and say he's the Messiah. He had to take the scriptures. Search the scriptures. They testify of me. When his bride comes, she's part of him. She's part of the word. She just can't say she's bride. She has to take the scriptures and then testify of me. Hallelujah! She has to prove by the word that the life of God has been revealed in her. That her life is matching to the scriptures promised for the age. Amen. Like a Chinese laundryman. They have the two half of the ticket. His life and the word. And put them together. Hallelujah. And you couldn't impersonate. incarnate that. Hallelujah! You have to be predestinated to that word. Amen. And when that word has been interpreted in you, that's the evidence that that is your name written in the book. That's the evidence that his name, which is his word, which you are part of that name, is being manifested in you. Amen. Not just baptized in water. That don't really make you bring forth the name. That puts you into local fellowship. Amen. But when you get the seal of God, when it's burned here by the baptism of fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you have the seal of God. Then you have the name of God. Then you're going to bring forth the life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we're setting these things here. We are trying to set these things here. It's quite a lot. We now begin really. Amen. We just kind of established to you that the name and the seal goes together. And when you get the seal, the name is written in your forehead. And your forehead is your revelation. Amen. And that the wife is the only one who could have the husband name. How many times you heard the prophet say, there are many women in this building, but there's only one that is Mistress Branham. And when I'm going home, I'm taking her with me. Amen! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What he meant was, there were many churches, Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal, blasphemous names. But there's only one people, the family in heaven and the family in earth, is named after the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus is going, he's going to take that family with him, who has his name, who has his life. Amen. And we want to see in this hour that we are living in, how these things are taking place. Because it's a calling and a sealing. Between the sixth and seventh seal. We see it. Amen. Okay, we got to close now. Now I'm going to finish this tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is the last night. And I felt led to speak some of these things. I'm going to preach something else. And I kind of didn't want to go into this in a deep teaching. But the Holy Spirit seemed to put in my heart, speak it. Amen. The time is now. The people must know. The people must know if they are marked with the seal of God. Because who don't have the seal of God will take the mark of the beast. Because the mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit in the angel of the church speaking to you, then your attitude towards that word going to determine whether you're receiving it. Amen. And that angel is going to be moving in the churches. Amen. I just want to give you that quote and close. And the message of leadership, 1965, December the 12th. Brother Abraham speaking. He said, now look at yourself. Look at
Really, are you a genuine Bible Christian?
¿Es usted realmente un cristiano bíblico?
Full of the love of God?
Lleno del amor de Dios?
Remember the Bible said in the last days, when this time takes place, he said a marking angel went through the churches, went through the cities, and sealed only those who sighed and cried for the abomination in the city. It's abomination for a woman to cut her hair. It's abomination for a woman to wear a man's garment. It's abomination. Amen. To live unclean. Abominations in the city. Then the city was full of perverseness. Man speaking their own ideas. Leading away people astray. Amen. Perverseness. Making them behave contrary. That is why these flaunting angels was coming. But there were some who couldn't take the filthiness. There were some who were sighing and crying for the abomination. Are you that burden tonight? You who may claim the seal of God. You who may claim the seal of God. Amen. Remember, he said, seal those who sigh and cry for the abomination. Who have a burden. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the marking angel went forth and put a mark on their forehead, seal them that sigh and cry. After that come the slaughtering angels from the four corners of the earth, which is coming right away. We see it coming. Wars moving right in that will kill the whole earth off. There was nothing that they couldn't touch but them that had the mark. He said, now you think. Is your heart so concerned about the sinners and the way that the church and the people are doing, till you can sigh and cry about it day and night? If not so, I am wondering. That's the scripture the prophet says. So in the last days, that angel, the Holy Spirit, Revelation 10:1, that mighty angel with the open book, Michael, was going to stand on the earth to deliver the names from written in the book. Amen! Because remember, what is going to happen with the Jews is happening here also. Amen! And we must recognize. You say, will he pass through Costa Rica? Would he come to San Jose? Would he come to this little church? To seal those in the forehead? Amen! Before the judgment strike? All who don't have the token will perish. Amen. Did he say it or didn't he say it? Amen. Let us think tonight. I have to close because the time is up. Many of you have to get the bus. But tomorrow night, we're going to finish it up. The second part. And see that the time of that calling and sealing is coming to an end. Amen. That angel went forth, and when he went forth was the beginning of the sealing. But he came back and said, it is done. Amen. He had finished, and the slaughtering angel was rumors of wars, political disturbance, begin to move in and destroy everything because they failed to receive that seal in the forehead. How we need a revelation tonight of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the age, in the church, in our life, in our home, that we can truly line up with God's word for this great hour. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. It's a very serious message. It's a very serious hour. This first part I have brought to you tonight, I want you to see. You don't get that name when you're baptized in water. Is when you are sealed with the seal of God. When He claims you. When He recognizes your faith. When He sees your obedience to the word of God. When He sees your crying and sighing. Then He seals you. And no man can reverse that seal. What an hour are we living in? It's not time to play church. It's time to know. We are bearing His name. We are manifesting His name. We are going in His name. We have faith in His name. We are declaring His name. The hour is here. We must know it. We must recognize that word being interpreted inside of us, giving us a personal identification with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, dear God, as your word have gone forth, maybe many things have not been made plain because we are run out of time. But tomorrow night, trusting we'll get to finish it, Lord. But yet again, Lord, many things have been made plain. And I pray, if it caused this little church in Costa Rica, hearing it is the only church in the country, then that means, Father, that the bride is here in this building. Oh God, I pray tonight that the people will wake up and recognize what a great responsibility that is, that they are the only church in the revealed world in this country. How they should stand, Lord. How they should conduct themselves. What a burden they should have tonight. How they should bear that responsibility. How they should be so united together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, let the Holy Spirit take the word have been spoken and make it be so real in their hearts. From the greatest to the least. Heavenly Father, let it become a revelation, Lord, in their hearts tonight. Let them know, Lord, that name is revealed. Not just to pronounce it, not just to say Jesus, but when you went in the Father's name, signs and wonders and miracles followed you. Hallelujah! The word spoken for that age was identified in your experience. You had a revelation and you preached that revelation. You took the law and the Psalms and the prophets, all things, because you knew it testified of you. So, Father, we must know tonight it testifies of us also. For the bride is part of the bridegroom. She is part of the word. She is part of the mystery tonight. And what a faith that gives us when we recognize our position as you recognize your position. Then we rely upon the word. What the word say about us. This
same way you relied upon it. Then that is perfect faith, Father. Where we can live in a world of perfect faith. In a perfect God. Who made a perfect promise. In his perfect word. Oh God. That's a super church. That's wrapped in faith. That's bright material. And that is what we long to see in this hour. Bless the people, Father. Help them tonight. Undertake for them, Lord. Cause them to consider these things tonight. And to think deeply upon it. And Lord, as they would go to their homes, may the Holy Spirit continue to speak to their heart and make plain these things. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. I commit the people into your hands now. And thank you, Father, for the undivided attention and the way they sat and listened tonight. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit bless them richly in the revelation of the word. Is my prayer. We ask it tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God richly bless you. We turn the service back to our pastor. Amen.
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 ¿Cuántos están alegres?
Gloria a
Dios. Amén. Dios nos habló de una forma grande, gloriosa. Todo ha sido una tremenda bendición a través de la palabra. Como Dios nos ha venido revelando esa palabra. Amén. Para vernos dando esa posición. Adoptados, hijos por Jesucristo. Amén. Oh, gloria al nombre del Señor. ¿Qué podemos decir? Amén, hermanos. Jesucristo siendo revelado en nosotros. Gloria al nombre del Señor. ¿Cómo ese Hijo de Hombre reveló al Hijo del Hombre? ¡Qué cosa más grande! Yo creo que tenemos que esperar algo para mañana. Qué bueno que pusieran a predicar al hermano Bill desde la mañana. Y no parara de predicar hasta en la tarde. Y siguiera con la noche. Que lo deje todo, ¿verdad? Que no lleve nada para Trinidad. Que comience a sembrar de nuevo allá para... Gloria al nombre del Señor. Verdaderamente, hermano, se necesita una verdadera posición. Y un verdadero conocimiento del Espíritu Santo. Amén. Como dijo el hermano, es un mensaje profundo. No es para niños pentecostales. No es para niños, no es para ir a predicar al parque, ir a enseñarle a la gente denominacional y a los borrachos y a los inconversos para que enseñarle estas grandes cosas. Es solamente para la novia. Es revelado a los hijos. A ver, es solamente para la esposa. Amén. Es en ese tercer cuartito donde él se está, hermano, revelando y se ha despojado para entregarse a ella y ella a él. Qué tremendo. Damos gracias al Señor. Vamos a ponernos de pie. Padre celestial. Gracias por ese mensaje que tú nos trajiste, Señor. Gracias por esa oración tan grande. Padre celestial, endereza todo, Señor, lo que nos falta. Endereza, Señor, todo lo que falta en nuestra vida. Queremos verdaderamente esa vida, Señor. No queremos riqueza. No queremos esos grandes dones. No queremos, Señor Jesús, esas cosas. Nosotros te hemos aceptado a ti, Señor Jesús. Padre celestial, queremos al dueño los dones. Y tenemos fe que lo tenemos, Señor. Pero hay algo que nos está haciendo falta, Padre celestial. Señor, y danos esa porción que nos hace falta. Padre, en el nombre de Jesucristo, haznos, Señor, conocer los errores. Haznos conocer lo que nos falta, Señor. ¿Cómo amamos esta palabra? Solo en ella hay avivamiento. Tu profeta dijo, solamente ella tiene el avivamiento, la novia. Dijo, todo caerá, pero ella no caerá. Aleluya, Señor. Porque ella es parte de Él. Ella es la otra pieza que estaba haciendo falta. Ella era la parte que había pecado, Señor. Y tú veniste a restaurarla, a recogerla. Oh, gracias por tener esos nombres en el libro de la vida del Cordero. Aleluya, Señor. Oh, gracias por esa palabra. Gracias, Señor. Sana a los enfermos. Sana toda dolencia y toda enfermedad. Resuelve, Señor, cada necesidad. Oh, Señor. Padre, los que no han entendido, que lo puedan creer. Que lo puedan recibir, Señor. Oh, gracias, Padre. En el nombre de Jesucristo. Padre, gracias. Aleluya. Sublime gracia del Señor, que aún infeliz salvó. Yo llego fui matado. Mañana a las 7, hermano. Perdido me hallo, sublime gracia del Señor, que aún infeliz salvo. Yo ciego fui, mas ahora veo ya. Perdido y en el mundo.